Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. Since the most important election of our lives is only a little more than 2 weeks away, I want to devote most of today's show to Democratic presidential candidate and former Vice President Joe Biden, and primarily to what is being referred to as his son Hunter Biden's email scandal. This is a matter of monumental importance and began being revealed a few days ago. What it is indicating is that Joe Biden has used his influence as a government official to fabulously enrich his family members and allegedly himself by selling access to himself and them to influence U.S. governmental actions and policies. It's a story that is just beginning to be revealed and is already the subject of a massive cover-up being undertaken by the Democratic Party, its propaganda wing, also known as the mainstream media, and including big tech giants Facebook, Twitter, and others, in an attempt to save Joe Biden's candidacy, and along with it, the hopes and aspirations of globalist and communist forces here in America and around the world that are aligned with Joe Biden. Details of the Hunter Biden email scandal is a political bombshell and were first revealed last week by a former front page expose. I'm sorry, by a front page expose in the New York Post, but originated late last year when someone's reportedly Hunter Biden himself, Joe Biden's son, dropped off a water-damaged computer he owned at a Delaware computer repair shop and signed a form that if he did not pay for the repairs and pick up his computer by a certain time, he would be legally abandoning the computer and its contents to the shop owner. The computer was not reclaimed within the time frame specified, nor was the bill paid for it. The computer repair shop owner then reportedly copied the contents of the computer's hard drive and turned them over to the FBI, being shocked at what he saw. They also made their way into the hands of a lawyer for Rudy Giuliani, an advisor to President Trump and a former federal prosecutor and mayor of New York City, who then turned the contents over to the New York Post. Giuliani relates that before the Post published their story last week, they sought to verify these emails were in fact from Hunter Biden and contacted him about it. Giuliani said Hunter Biden's attorney then contacted the computer repair shop owner and asked to have the computer returned to Hunter Biden. But it was too late. Shockingly, the FBI reportedly had all this information during President Trump's impeachment but chose not to act on it. And that is a big question which is going to have to be resolved here. Why didn't the FBI do that? And those people responsible, unless they have a very good reason, they should be held accountable, in my opinion, and others. Only a fraction of Hunter Biden's emails on the computer have been analyzed and made public, and a great deal more will be made public in the coming days. As I said, this is an explosive story which could profoundly affect the outcome of the election and is just beginning to be revealed. The computer hard drive also reportedly contains pictures and videos of Hunter Biden having sex with underage girls. Yesterday, Alex Jones on his radio show, seen on his website, Infowars.com, stated that the hard drive shows sickening videos of Hunter Biden raping and torturing young Chinese girls. Jones alleges that this is evidence of a Chinese communist government blackmail plot against Hunter Biden in order to control Joe Biden when he is elected – when, they hope, he's elected U.S. president. The blackmail plot, Jones says, is itself part of a wider blackmail operation against numerous other Americans with the goal of influencing and controlling the U.S. government. Hunter Biden has long had a problem with drugs and was kicked out of the Navy, as I understand it, for drug use. These videos also reportedly show him using drugs. The massive cover-up effort is at least in part due to many people involved with it having been involved in and susceptible to Chinese communist blackmail, Jones states. You can find out more about this by visiting his website. And also another website he has, band.video. It seems that some of this information he's relating is so explosive, so controversial, that even the New York Post doesn't want to go into it, at least not at this point. From what has been made available thus far, along with recently unclassified information from the federal government, it's now clear that Trump's impeachment and the Russia collusion hoax, that Trump is somehow a Russian agent and who colluded with that country to win the 2016 election, were ruses instigated by Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. This was done to divert attention to the real scandals of Hillary Clinton using her own private computer or computers to traffic and classify U.S. government email information while she was Secretary of State, and of Joe Biden's actions regarding Ukraine while he was Vice President. It appears the trafficking in classified information was being done to solicit money from corporations and foreign entities. But thousands of emails on Clinton's private computer server disappeared during the FBI investigation, and the server's hardware was acid washed and crushed, and Hillary was subsequently exonerated by the FBI of serious wrongdoing. This is what has been referred to as the Hillary Clinton email scandal. Now, the Hunter Biden email scandal reveals strong indications of corruption by Joe Biden and his family members. But the difference is the FBI is not in control of this information now that Rudy Giuliani has turned it over to the New York Post. As I said, only a fraction of the thousands of emails on Hunter Biden's computer have been made public, but these that have been done thus far revealed that are related – they are related directly to Joe Biden's fitness for office and could well derail his campaign. And he and his campaign members are not saying much about it. It has pretty much been confirmed from what I've seen recently that these are in fact Hunter Biden's – it was his computer. These images are of him, and the emails are his, and they go back for years. But the Biden campaign is totally silent, just refusing to comment. And – being backed up by major mainstream media organizations. Thus, the massive cover-up of media censorship, official Biden denials, and recriminations underway to protect the Bidens and Joe Biden's candidacy. It remains to be seen if this massive cover-up will save Biden's campaign. Before delving further into the scandal, I was intending to discuss Joe Biden's platform and his positions on various issues, such as oil and natural gas fracking and packing the Supreme Court. You can find lots of information about Joe's platform and agenda on the internet and through the media, though much of it is whitewashed leftist propaganda designed to make Biden appear as a political moderate. But let's briefly look at a few things. Suffice it to say, Joe Biden is no moderate, and he is clearly aligned with the radical left in America, try as he may to appear middle of the road politically. As you may know, Biden's base is largely the radical left, but now he's attempting to soften his positions on these and other issues, that is, I'm talking about fracking and the packing of the court, to appear moderate and appeal to more voters. While he formerly said fracking, which is a process of extracting oil and natural gas that employs many thousands, has no place in the U.S. under his administration, now he's saying he's not against it if it doesn't damage the environment. Biden has refused to give his position on enlarging the Supreme Court by expanding the number of justices serving on it with liberals, that is leftists, which is being promoted by Democrats to counter the supposed conservative influence of Amy Coney Barrett, Trump's nominee to the court, who will likely be confirmed later this month. Oddly enough, an opinion piece September 16th in that bastion of leftist ideology, The Washington Post, gave a warning about Biden's overall agenda. The opinion piece by columnist Henry Olson was titled, "Joe Biden's Agenda is Frighteningly Expensive." And it states, quote, "Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden has squarely focused his campaign on President Trump. That's probably why, since his own agenda is so frighteningly expensive. Two recently released independent analyses document just how much Biden proposes to expand the federal government if elected. The Manhattan Institute's Brian Reitel, a former budget staffer with congressional and presidential campaign experience, used third-party cost estimates of Biden's proposals to show they total more than $11 trillion over 10 years. Removing the $3 trillion cost of the House Democrats' HEROES Act, the COVID-19 relief measure that Biden has endorsed, still leaves promises to increase federal spending by more than $8 trillion over the next decade. Analysts from the Penn Wharton Budget Model, a project associated with the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School, similarly estimate Biden's promises would increase federal spending by a lower but still massive $5.4 trillion over the next decade. Either figure means the federal government's share of the economy would dramatically expand. Penn Wharton's figure means that Biden's plans would make federal spending roughly 24% of gross domestic product by 2030, the highest figure outside of the post-recession budgets in 2009 and 2020 in more than 50 years. Reitel's figures show it could exceed 25% by then. State and local governments spend around 15% of GDP after accounting for transfers from the federal government. Assuming that does not change, either figure places total government spending with the Biden agenda at roughly 40% of gross domestic product. That would be roughly equivalent to government spending levels in Canada and Britain, and well above that in countries such as Australia and New Zealand. Now, Olson continues, Biden's plan also doesn't pay for itself, even though it would significantly increase taxes. The competing analyses agree that Biden's tax proposals would raise between $3.4 trillion and $3.5 trillion in new revenue. His overall plan, then, would dramatically increase the federal deficit, which has already ballooned to nearly $1 trillion per year under Trump before the novel coronavirus struck. Budget watchdogs are already warning that deficit levels are dangerously high and unsustainable. Biden's plans would make the crisis much, much worse. End quote. As you can see, Biden is no moderate when it comes to expanding the scope and power of the government. Worse, Joe Biden is a puppet of the globalists and their vaunted New World Order, which he and many others keep talking about, and which would destroy the sovereignty of the U.S. and its system of individual rights and freedoms, and subject it to the tyranny of a new global governmental order run by technocrat elitists and communists. With the Hunter Biden email scandal, we are seeing strong evidence that Joe Biden has sold influence in the U.S. government in exchange for his family members and quite possibly his own personal enrichment. Rudy Giuliani and others are saying there's no doubt about this now, but I would like to see a little bit more information. It's interesting that Joe Biden has suddenly become a multimillionaire along with his wife after he left office. And I read on the internet that, well, he made all this money by his book. He put a book out about his son who died, Promise Me Dad, his title, and making going on speaking tours. But it's ballooned. You have to wonder. But apparently no one's looked very closely at his finances. Just last week, conservative filmmaker and commentator Dinesh D'Souza released his new film, Trump Card, in which he lays out what we are facing. He lays out that we are facing the end of America's republic, traditions, and culture in the upcoming elections next month. Included in that film is an interview with investigative journalist Peter Schweitzer, who's been looking into the Biden family corruption. Let's listen to audio of that interview to get an overview of how Joe Biden's family members have enriched themselves during his tenure in public office. This interview was done well before Hunter Biden's email scandals became breaking news last week. Play soundbite one, please.
Corruption in government goes all the way to the top, according to author and researcher Peter Schweitzer.
Peter, when I listen to leading figures on the political left railing against multimillionaires and billionaires, you kind of get the impression that they don't care about money. But they do care about money, don't they?
Absolutely. They show it in all sorts of ways, especially when it comes to their own finances. The Bidens have done very well, and Joe Biden's been very sophisticated and shrewd in the way he's done it. He's essentially offshored the corruption, which means he's been in politics, was in politics for more than 40 years. And during that time, his net worth really didn't grow. But what did grow was the net worth of his family members. Politician like Joe Biden, he has to disclose if he has $1,000 in General Electric stock. He has to disclose if he gets a $200 campaign contribution. But if his brother gets a massive government contract, if his son does a massive private equity deal with a foreign government, there's no disclosure requirement.
Let's track a little bit of the Biden family racket. Biden's brother, James Biden.
Go back to November of 2010, a guy named Kevin Justice shows up at the vice president's office in the White House. 3 weeks later, Kevin Justice appoints James Biden, who has no experience, as the new executive vice president of Hillstone, a construction company that he has just formed. Then 6 months, this new construction company lands a contract to build 100,000 homes in Iraq.
And what is that contract worth?
About $1.5 billion. During this time, Joe Biden was the point person on Iraqi reconstruction.
Now, there's another Biden brother.
I'm Frank Biden. I'm the non-attorney senior advisor to clients statewide.
So Frank Biden had been a largely unsuccessful real estate agent in Florida. His brother is elected vice president of the United States in 2009, and he decides he's going to get into the energy business. His brother in the spring of 2009 makes a trip to Costa Rica, meets with Costa Rican President Arias. Within a couple of months, Frank Biden is in Costa Rica. He has meetings with Costa Rican government officials, and he signs an exclusive deal with the Costa Rican National Power Company for green energy projects in Costa Rica. His company, Sun Fund Americas, is involved in a project that includes $47 million in taxpayer-backed loans in Jamaica.
Let's turn to Hunter Biden. In 2013, Hunter Biden accompanies his father, Joe Biden, Vice President of the United States, to China.
Hunter Biden is there because he's trying to finalize this incredible deal. It's a private equity deal expanded to $1.5 billion. The Chinese government is putting money into this deal.
And is it a deal to invest in the Chinese economy in ways that are not typically open to Western investors?
Yes, this is the key. Hunter Biden has no background in private equity. He has no background in China. He gets a deal through the Shanghai Free Trade Zone that nobody else operating in China has. The Chinese have had a strategy throughout the Asia-Pacific region of striking deals with the family members of political figures like Joe Biden because they expect favorable policies in return. And if you look at Joe Biden's trajectory as an official, as it relates to talking about China when he was a senator to now when he's vice president and then afterward, he has become incredibly soft in his criticism of China.
It is in our self-interest that China continue to prosper.
And I personally believe it is directly linked to the fact that his son was doing multiple deals with the Chinese government at the time that he was vice president of the United States.
Was there a Biden family racket in Ukraine?
Oh, absolutely. Go back to 2014. Barack Obama says, I want Joe Biden to be the point person for policy towards Ukraine, which means all aid dollars. Within 3 weeks of that appointment, a Ukrainian energy company called Burisma starts writing checks to the vice president's son. They were $83,333 a month, paid twice, because both Hunter Biden and his business partners are on the board of directors, and that amounts to $1 million each per year. These payments started in the spring of 2014 and continued for almost 5 years. And these 300-page documents show that's the amount that they were paid consistently every month.
Now, there was a Ukrainian prosecutor looking into all this. What happened to him?
We have a tape of Joe Biden bragging about how he gets Mr. Shokin fired.
We're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Of course, Biden denies wrongdoing.
And we'll hear more about this in the program here. I highly recommend Dinesh D'Souza's new film, which is called Film Video, Trump Card. You can find out more about it at TrumpCardTheMovie.com. It's also available on DVD or perhaps other media through Walmart, Amazon, Target, and other places. So highly recommend you take a look at it. I think I bought a copy of it, the non-HD version, for about $6, and it goes on for an hour and some odd minutes. It covers a lot of good, important things, and this was part of it. Rudy Giuliani also has his own website. It's called Common Sense. Rudy Giuliani's Common Sense. And if you do a search on the internet, it'll come up. And he last night came out with a version. It was out yesterday, I believe. It was episode number 78, I believe. And he lays a lot of this out. He's very much involved in all this. He was the person who turned these emails over to the Washington or to the New York Post. Highly recommend you look at that as well. Here's some more audio, this time from Rush Limbaugh on his program October 15th, in which he's attempting to make sense of the Hunter Biden email scandal based on the information revealed as of that time. Play soundbite 2, please.
Today, another massive scandal has been confirmed by emails. These are emails from the laptop of Hunter Biden. These are emails from the laptop of Joe Biden's son. Now, this scandal, it honestly is, folks, this scandal is so big and so dangerous, like it was with Hillary, that an enormous cover-up is underway to save Biden's presidential bid. That nothing less than an effort to save Biden's campaign is underway. That's why the story is being suppressed. It's why people that trade in the story are being, well, they're being, their accounts are being closed. They're being doxxed. The FBI had in their possession and controlled Hillary's emails. And because of that, the Obama deep state never allowed the details of Hillary's violations of the Espionage Act or her grotesque abuses of power to see the light of day. The FBI had in their possession, and they controlled Hillary's emails. It was a massive government-run cover-up, led by the FBI, led by James Comey. Maybe we'll get full details someday. That can wait, because Hillary's scandal is different from Biden's. The FBI does not control the evidence of Biden's corruption. But the FBI had Hunter Biden's laptop the entire time when they were trying to impeach Trump. They had all this. The FBI had his laptop. His laptop had been turned over. His laptop turned into a computer repair shop in Delaware. They knew what they had. They chose not to act on it. So whereas you could say the FBI does not control the evidence of Biden's corruption, a computer shop owner made copies of Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop and gave them to the FBI and to the media. Well, the New York Post. If the shop owner had given this hard drive to the New York Times, we would never know about it. It would be suppressed. It would be buried. It'd probably be erased and destroyed. But the shop owner ended up giving it to the New York Post, and that is key. Stories in the New York Post have triggered a non-governmental response from Biden's protectors. Social media giants Twitter and Facebook are trying to suppress the dissemination of evidence of Joe Biden's unfitness for office in a manner this country has never seen. And that is the story. The evidence contained in Hunter Biden's laptop of financial malfeasance, of government payoffs, of blackmailable events makes what Hillary Clinton was trafficking in really small stuff. Joe Biden is no different than Hillary Clinton in that he was selling access to his family and to him for huge amounts of money and for the enrichment of his son, Hunter. There was no reason to impeach Trump. Everybody knew there was no reason. Nothing happened on that phone call. In fact, that phone call was simply the result of Joe Biden admitting that he had gotten a prosecutor fired who was investigating his son. And Trump wanted the new president of Ukraine to confirm that. He wanted to look into that. How did this all happen? Because Biden had been at the Council on Foreign Relations. We've played you this audio, I don't know how many times, bragging about how he got the prosecutor who was looking into his son's malfeasance fired. And he did it by threatening to withhold $1 billion in aid the U.S. government had promised Ukraine. And he said to the Ukraine president, who was reluctant to do this, "Oh, you don't believe me? Call a big dog. Call Barack. Barack will tell you. You got 6 hours. You got 6 hours." And then Biden tells his audience at the Council on Foreign Relations, "The 6 hours go by, a some bitch." The guy got fired. They fired the son of a bitch. And he's laughing about it. And he's bragging about it. And the audience at the Council on Foreign Relations is applauding this. That's what Trump was asking the president of Ukraine to confirm. So everything about, you know, the impeachment was unnecessary. And the FBI knew it. They had the Biden laptop the whole time. What we're looking at here is the merging of the mindset of the Communist Chinese Party and that of a major American political party, that would be the Democrat Party. And this merging also includes Twitter and Facebook and much of American social media. Now, that's the big picture. I want to go back and look at what's being suppressed and try to tie it together. Now, remember several months ago when Biden said in response to a question from the media, "I have never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings"? Remember that? What was so important to cause Biden to lie? It would be quite natural that he would talk to his son about overseas business dealings if the family had some. But he found it necessary to lie about that. Why? What was so important? Joe Biden lied about his knowledge of his son's corrupt dealings the way Clinton lied about his carnal knowledge, shall we say, of Monica Lewinsky. It was a lie to protect himself from scrutiny that could do great damage to him and his political party. That's why he lied. It's common knowledge. Folks, this is not arguable now. It's not in dispute. Hunter Biden got $80,000 a month to sit on the board of Burisma, a corrupt, well, the guy that ran it, a Ukrainian oligarch. It's an energy company in Ukraine. And that happened when Obama put Joe Biden in charge of Ukraine. So Biden gets a Ukraine portfolio, the Ukraine desk, immediately installs his son on the board of an energy company there for $80,000 a month, and his son doesn't know anything about natural gas or any other aspect of energy. Now, we know that Joe Biden bragged about blackmailing a Ukraine official. That resulted in protecting Biden and his family from any scrutiny. This is where Biden brags about getting the prosecutor looking into Burisma and thus his son fired. Biden lied because some might conclude that he and his son are very blackmailable. He lied because some people might conclude that he was using his power as vice president to arrange very cozy and secure financial arrangements that you and I can't engage in that are in violation of big-time law. Joe Biden lied because, well, couldn't have this be discovered. It would embarrass him. It would embarrass Obama. It would cause embarrassment out the... Why, they might even demand Biden's tax returns, folks, if they got wind of any of this. Hunter Biden sold access to the office of the vice president. The vice president, his dad, was a knowing and willing participant. This has been confirmed by everything on this laptop. What is Joe Biden? According to this story, he is the equivalent of the head of a little mob family. He gets half of all the money the family makes in their dirty deals. Giuliani held up a text from Hunter Biden to Joe Biden's granddaughter, Naomi Biden, discussing money. claimed that Hunter made a big mistake because it revealed the distribution scheme the Biden crime families had for years. Hunter Biden wrote, "I love you all, but I don't receive any respect." That's fine, I guess. Works for you, apparently. I hope you all can do what I did and pay for everything for this entire family for 30 years. It's really hard, but don't worry. Unlike Pop, I won't make you give me half your salary. Giuliani explained that the younger Biden was paying for everything in the family because he was getting the money. They were keeping it from Joe so he wouldn't have to report it. They were keeping it from Joe so that he would stay clean. No scandal with me, Joe Biden. The money never got to him directly. It's one of the reasons why the Biden kids were put into these positions. They were the recipients of all the money Joe Biden was arranging for himself when he was a senator, when he was vice president for Obama. It was so he wouldn't have to report it. His tax returns would be clean. His family members were the ones being paid off. They had to send half the money to Dad. The route the money took was such that it would not be categorized as income, thus wouldn't need to be reported. I'm telling you, folks, the Biden family is as scandalous as the Corleone bunch. New York Post has an email that shows that within days of hiring Hunter Biden, Burisma asked him to use his influence to stop the Ukraine government's investigation of Burisma. It's right there.
Here's more audio, this time from a video reported by Chanel Rion of One America News Network. This is October 16th. And this has to do with Joe Biden's denial of wrongdoing regarding him getting this Ukrainian prosecutor fired who was investigating the Ukrainian energy company Burisma and Hunter Biden, who was on its board of directors. He was also serving on the board was Hunter Biden's business partner, Devin Archer, and he was making the same amount of money. Please play soundbite 3.
Every time questions are raised to Joe Biden about his son Hunter Biden's wheeling and dealing overseas, Joe Biden adamantly denies wrongdoing.
My son did nothing wrong.
He was already on the board, and he's a grown man. And it turns out he did not do a single thing wrong.
But bombshell new emails published by the New York Post appear to show Joe Biden has been lying about a fundamental fact. New emails show Joe Biden knew exactly what Hunter Biden was up to. Hunter Biden was using his father's vice presidential role to make money, fire pesky legal authorities overseas, and protect his own criminal dealings. Joe Biden claims he never discussed Ukraine business with his son, Hunter.
I've never discussed my business or their business, my sons or daughters, and I've never discussed them.
But the following email from the number 3 executive of Ukrainian oil company Burisma, Vadim Pozharsky, to Hunter Biden, seems to catch Joe Biden in a lie of outrageous proportions. Quote, "Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together. It's really an honor and pleasure." Dated April 17, 2015, this is approximately 1 year into Hunter Biden's role as a board member of Burisma, a role for which Hunter was paid $50,000 a month. The question has always been, why would someone pay Hunter Biden, an addict of hard drugs and prostitutes, $50,000 a month to sit on the board of a company for which he had zero experience? The answer has been obvious for some time, but the uncovered emails by the New York Post show that in May 2014, around the time Hunter Biden joined Burisma, Pozharsky emails Hunter for, quote, "advice on how you could use your influence to help Burisma." Burisma just happened to be under investigation for money laundering around this time, and Vice President Joe Biden just happened to be the Ukraine point man. These emails, along with a 12-minute Hunter Biden sex tape, were found in a water-damaged MacBook Pro abandoned at a Delaware computer repair shop. According to the New York Post, the computer had been turned over to the FBI in December 2019 by the repair shop owner. Before doing so, the repair shop had made copies of the hard drive and handed them over to Rudy Giuliani's attorney, Robert Costello. To all this, the Biden campaign dismisses the development as nothing more than a conspiracy theory. Indeed, even with this latest evidence, here's what Joe Biden is demanding America believe. As vice president and point man for Obama in Ukraine, it just so happened his drug addict son Hunter was appointed to the board of Ukraine's biggest oil and gas company, a company under investigation. Biden wants you to believe he never discussed Ukraine with Hunter. Biden also demands you believe he pressured the Ukrainian government to get rid of the prosecutor general Viktor Shokin because Shokin was, quote, corrupt, not because Shokin was investigating Hunter Biden and Burisma. And despite these explicit new emails where a top Burisma executive thanks Hunter for arranging a meeting with the vice president, Joe Biden wants you to believe his role as point man in Ukraine had nothing to do with any of this. Chanel Rion, One American News, the White House.
Now, in these sound bites, you hear that Hunter Biden, who had no prior experience with energy production or speaks the Ukrainian language, or does not speak the Ukrainian language, I'm going to say, was paid $50,000 a month and some say $80,000 a month. The higher figure may include expenses. I'm not sure. It's not clear at this point. But the bottom line is that Hunter Biden and his business partner each were paid millions while serving on the board of Burisma, Ukraine's largest energy company, during Joe Biden's tenure as U.S. vice president. Now let's hear more audio, also from October 16th, this time from Fox's Hannity, on which show host Sean Hannity is interviewing Peter Schweizer about yet more emails, this time from another former business partner of Hunter Biden's who is now in prison. These are separate emails from those on the Hunter Biden computer and which Schweizer is looking into. That is, these new emails that were not on – these are the emails of his former business partner. Play soundbite four, please.
An investigation breaking tonight, new emails that expose even more corruption inside the Biden Business Bureau, because new documents obtained exclusively by Peter Schweizer now expose how Hunter Biden and associates used all of their connections inside the Obama-Biden White House to set up private meetings for foreign clients and investors. And get this, these never-before-seen emails were provided by former Hunter Biden business partner, Bevin Cooney is his name. He's in jail right now. Also, they do outline how a delegation of Chinese investors and CCP officials scored an off-the-books meeting with the vice president back in 2011. And additionally, a 2011 email, a Hunter Biden business partner talking about developing relations that were referred to as, quote, China Inc., and part of a, quote, new push on soft diplomacy for the Chinese. Fox News has not independently verified Peter's reporting, but he's not been wrong to date. And we reached out to the Biden campaign. We have yet to hear back. But what does it all mean? It means that in addition to profiting off his father's diplomacy, we now have growing evidence that Hunter Biden and his business partners put U.S. national security at risk and willingly allowed Chinese officials use of this access to work their way inside the Obama-Biden White House. Starting to make more sense why Joe is so soft on China? Is it starting to make sense why Joe refuses to talk tough against America's biggest geopolitical foe? And is it starting to make more sense why this is the biggest choice election in our history? Here to explain, author, journalist, Profiles in Corruption, and of course, Secret Empires, Peter Schweizer. All right, a little bit of background. So this guy Cooney is in business with Hunter and another guy by the name of Devin Archer, correct?
That's right.
All right. He's in jail.
And they basically – sorry, go ahead.
Okay. This guy Cooney is in jail. Devin Archer is convicted and about to be sent to jail, correct? Correct? Given a sentence.
That's right. They had a business set up, Sean, that was an investment scheme. Bevin Cooney was a partner in that. Just as a matter of background, Bevin Cooney was a nightclub promoter and owner. He owned the Viper Room, which was a famous club in L.A., and he got involved in these financial deals. It ended up he was charged and convicted, and of course, now Devin Archer has been convicted. And Bevin Cooney is the only one that went to jail, and he's very frustrated. I mean, he admits that he made mistakes, but he feels like Devin Archer and Hunter Biden got off scot-free because of their political connections. And that's why he wanted to share these emails with me to clear the record and demonstrate the widespread corruption that Hunter Biden was engaged in.
All right, a little bit of background. You wrote the book Secret Empires. You were the first to tell us about Burisma and the billion-dollar deal with the Bank of China, which became $1.5 billion. So the two business partners of Hunter are convicted. One's in jail, one's about to be sentenced to jail. Now, the one in jail gives you access to his private email account, and you've been able to confirm that through these emails, what?
A number of things. And just to be clear, Sean, we have actually been granted access to his account. So we're not looking at printouts. This is not secondhand. We go into his Gmail account with his written approval. He gave us the password. And what those emails show, the 26,000 show, we're working our way through them, is a wide net of using the Biden name, using access to the White House, serving as the pipeline to the administration as a means to help their clients and gain clients. The names that come up in this are the Chinese, the Russians, the Ukrainians, the Kazakhs. It's a veritable United Nations of corruption. And what it demonstrates is that Joe Biden, as Vice President of the United States, was a center point. It was almost the planet around which these business activities moved.
A veritable United Nations of corruption. And so with all the other things we knew about Joe Biden, we are now beginning to see the racket, as it was called, that Joe Biden is appearing to have established through corruption of his office or offices as a public official in order to fabulously enrich his family members and, as is being reported, himself. Beyond all this is the frightening specter of socialistic big government and expansion of power the Biden campaign represents, along with this devotion to the even more frightening New World Order movement toward our subversion and submission to world government that Joe Biden, left-wing billionaire George Soros, I believe former President Barack Obama, and so many others are continually referring to, the New World Order. With much of this in mind, but before the disclosures of the past few days, conservative commentator Mark Levin said he couldn't sleep one night recently, and so he wrote down some of his thoughts on what is at stake in the elections this November 3. For those of you unfamiliar with Mark Levin, the online encyclopedia Wikipedia describes him with the following. Mark Levin is an American lawyer, author, and radio personality. He is the host of syndicated radio show The Mark Levin Show, as well as Life, Liberty, and Levin on Fox News. Levin worked in the administration of President Ronald Reagan and was chief of staff for Attorney General Edwin Meese. He is the former president of the Landmark Legal Foundation and a New York Times bestselling author of 7 books and contributes commentary to media outlets such as National Review Online. As you can see, Levin has a very significant legal and political background that gives him unique qualifications as a political observer. Here's some audio from his comments about this on his radio show, October 13. Play soundbite 5, please.
Do you choose liberty or tyranny? For most of us, there are few, if any, opportunities to demonstrate our devotion to this great nation. Those among us who join the military or law enforcement and protect us from foes foreign and domestic are small in number. Yet we have the power to determine our own fate and the fate of our nation by the simple act of voting. And in a precious few days, we, the people, will decide for ourselves, our progeny, and for the rest of time, if America will remain a vibrant and free constitutional republic, the likes of which the world has never known, or whether America will become just another nation in decline, going the way of Athens and Rome, but in a shorter time. This election will decide, we will decide, if we wish to live in freedom or tyranny, in sunlight or darkness, in prosperity or poverty. The choice could not be starker, and the choice is ours. We must ask ourselves, what will our children and grandchildren think of us? How will history judge us? What would our ancestors say of us if we so casually and without duress turn aside mankind's greatest achievement and vote for 1,000 years of decline, gloom, and doom? Each successive generation must commit to ensuring that the next generation lives free. We must reflect on the selflessness with which Americans have sacrificed and died on battlefields throughout the world and in our own revolutionary and civil wars, so that we might appreciate what we have inherited, a country in which we live and flourish in a civil and open society. As I explained in Liberty and Tyranny, too often liberty's permeance makes its manifestations elusive or invisible to those born into it. Even if liberty is acknowledged, it is often taken for granted and its permanence assumed. Under these conditions, the statists' agenda, that is, the Democrat Party's diabolical plans, can be alluring. It is not recognized as an increasingly corrosive threat to liberty, but rather coexisting with it. But all liberty-loving citizens should know better and be alarmed by the ascent of tyranny, not only in the Democrat Party, but throughout the culture. Nor should we be confused or taken by the various nomenclatures designed by the Democrat Party to deceive us into believing that their movement is some kind of a people's movement, such as democratic socialism. Like all such movements, they ultimately rely on the iron fist to control the people, not serve them. As I've noted before, the Democrat Party's presidential nominee, Joe Biden, who has perfected the politics of deceit and manipulation, veils his pursuits in moral indignation, intoning in high dudgeon the injustices and inequities of liberty and life itself, for which only he and his party can provide justice and bring a righteous resolution. And when the resolution proves elusive, as it has during his 47-year political career, he demands ever more authority to wring out the imperfections in mankind's existence. Hence his 110-page Marxist manifesto. Unconstrained by constitutional prohibitions, what is left but Biden's own moral compass, which has already led him astray? He's never circumspect about his own shortcomings. Failure is not a product of his beliefs, but merely want of power and resources. Thus are born endless rationalizations for seizing ever more governmental authority. So the Democrat Party's intention to destroy the Supreme Court by packing it with kindred ideologues, the expansion of the U.S. Senate to create a supermajority, one-party Democrat rule, the elimination of the filibuster rule to crush any opposition to the Democrat Party's lawmaking agenda, and the elimination of the Electoral College in order to prevent millions of Americans outside the big cities and most populated states from participating in the electoral and governing system, thereby ensuring Democrat Party dominance for decades. In short, the fundamental transformation of America from a constitutional republic to a Democrat Party leviathan.
In cities, a say in how we are governed. And this is what would be done away with if they eliminate the Electoral College, which they're talking about, which is part of the Constitution, by the way. Are there enough more informed Americans out there to make the critical difference and choose for the nation liberty over tyranny? I wish I knew. But for those of us who see what's happening out there, remember what Benjamin Franklin said to the Continental Congress just before the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Quote, "We must, indeed, all hang together, or most assuredly, we shall all hang separately." Unquote. Well, that's a wrap for our show this week. Look for us again in this same time slot, November 1, right before the elections. I hope you all have a good evening and rest of the weekend.